Good evening all, and welcome to the October 1st meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. And if we can please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and Kevin, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do a roll call, Kelly? Wonderful. And now we will start with public comment. Is there anyone on the phone?
No hands are raised.
No hands are raised. Wonderful. And is there anyone in the room that would like to make public comment? You have 3 minutes to discuss anything that is not on the agenda. And with that, we will close public comment. Consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
I second that.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Director Reyes?
Aye.
Aye. All right, our area agency reports. Do we have anyone here from Supervisor Burgess's office? The Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant White, would you like to come up?
Discovery Bay for the month of September had 337 calls for service. Within those 337 calls for service, the deputies arrested 6 individuals. Of note, deputies took a vandalism in the Century communities that are being built right now over off of Newport Drive, Newport Lane. The vandalism was in excess of over $20,000. Through the surveillance system that they have over there, the deputies were able to, the two resident deputies got together. They were able to identify all 3 suspects who were juveniles. We were able to go to their home, interview each of them, obtain full confessions, and file it with the juvenile DA's office. So that's where that stands right now. But that crime, from our point, is solved. So then, I know the construction buildings over there were pretty happy with that. So they did a good job. I want to touch on e-bike enforcement. I know that was a topic of discussion last month. And for the month of September, both of your resident deputies adjusted their schedules to be available to do e-bike enforcement after school hours. For the month, they conducted 20 e-bike stops to include electric motorcycles and e-bikes. Within those stops, multiple juveniles were contacted on each stop. The deputies either contacted the parents and had the parents come down to where the stop was, and they educated all the parents on the laws and the safety concerns that the community and the sheriff's office has with their actions. If the parents were unavailable, we gave rides home to the juveniles and spoke to their parents at their house. I think that it has proven effective so far this month. I know that in the past 3 weeks, we have not received a call for service regarding juveniles on e-bikes, so you're doing a good job. Unfortunately, 3 of the stops of the 20, the juveniles, or maybe young girls, I'm not sure, they took off from the deputies. Obviously, we're not going to pursue them, but we let that go. But that is occurring. Let's see here. Oh, I wanted to mention on October 22nd, Assemblywoman Lori Wilson is coming to do a town hall regarding building safe schools and communities. We are partnering with Assemblywoman Wilson as well as the Byron Union School District. I left a flyer back there for you guys, and I've also given a flyer to the Wilson on the guys' website. The Sheriff's Office will be talking mostly about e-bike safety, gun safety, and social media safety. So it'll be a good opportunity for students and their parents to come and see the collaboration between state government, the Sheriff's Office, and the school unions. So,
what's the date on that?
October 22nd from 6:30 to 7:30, and that will be at Excelsior.
Great.
Does anyone have any questions?
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
I appreciate the help with the e-bikes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So the 337 calls for a town this size, is that about, it seems like we're close to there pretty much every month.
Yeah, it's about normal for you guys. And I think I explained before, the calls for service are not community members calling in, right? Those are deputies doing traffic stops, pedestrian stops, security checks, things of that nature.
Yeah.
So that's all included in the 337.
Okay. All right. Any other questions anymore? All right. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
It. And Con Fire is not here. And Code Enforcement is not here. We have nothing for MAC. And now on to item G, Discussion and Possible Action. Dina?
Yes, I will pass that over to our finance manager, Margaret Moja. She will discuss, she'll introduce the auditors.
Good evening, this is Margaret, your finance manager, and wanted to share about the audit that we have conducted for the current fiscal year. Or the fiscal year that just completed, which is January 2025. With that, we are happy to have our auditors here to provide a presentation on sort of how the audit went, findings that they had, and be available for questions afterwards. But in the report, you'll see not only the audit financial statements, but some other required reporting or communication that's there, and then there's a presentation at the end. And I know we're needing to use our paperwork that's there, so if I could turn your attention to the last part of the document, document G15, that's where we'll start with the presentation. And with that, I'll introduce the table to come on.
Hi, good evening, Board of Directors. changes that I just mentioned that were made to beginning balances in order police corrections are really just for financial reporting purposes and to be in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles, and not because of any errors to the transactions themselves or any sort of like non-compliance to the transactions themselves. It's just for financial reporting purposes. The other finding that we reported this year was a finding that we had discussed last year as well, and it's on internal controls over the journal entries process. The recommendation related to this was to implement more checks and balances over the review and approval of journal entries, such that another person is looking at the entry other than the person who prepares the entry. So I know Margaret is working on training the accounting staff so that there can be more people involved with the journal entry process. And I think with the new Tyler ERP system being put in place, I think that will help this, the district in getting more controls in place for journal entries. So on the next slide, we've also issued a letter to the board at the conclusion of our audits, which I will summarize. So this letter states that we have communicated the plan, scope, and timing of the audit and our engagement letter, but also we did a presentation to the Finance Committee on August 4th, 2025. This letter further states that management is responsible for the selection and use of accounting principles when they are described in Note 1 to your financial statements. There were no new accounting policies adopted this year that had a material impact on the district's financial statements. The financial statements also do not contain any estimates or disclosures that are particularly sensitive or require substantial judgment by management. On the next slide, we did not encounter any significant difficulties during the audit. We did not have any disagreements with management. We did have a few uncorrected misstatements that management has determined were immaterial to the financial statements overall, and those are attached to the letter in your packet. So lastly, to our knowledge, management did not consult with other accountants regarding auditing or accounting matters. And that concludes my presentation, so we'd be happy to answer any questions.
This did go through the finance committee today, and we were very comfortable with what they had presented and were able to ask the questions that we felt were necessary to understand the report. Kevin, do you have anything to add to that? Do you have anything to add to that?
It's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure I didn't miss anything.
Okay, with that, does anyone have any questions?
Questions?
Yes, you have to accept comment.
Okay, do we need to go out to public comment? Okay. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to make any public comment on the financials for fiscal year 24 to 25?
No answer raised.
Is there anyone in the room who would like to make any public comment? And with that, we will close public comment and bring it back to the board. For approval.
Move to accept the report as presented.
I second.
So is that sufficient? Okay, so I will modify my motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second. Again?
Aye. Yeah.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Curtis?
Aye.
And now on to discussion of possible action for the Sandpoint Crossing Pipeline Project.
Yes, I will turn this over to Mike Iraka, who will present this item to the Board of Directors. Yes.
Okay. Great, thank you. So this item before you tonight, we had previously discussed with the board 2 months ago replacing some about 3,400 feet of 8-inch asbestos pipe, which is undersized between Sandpoint Fork and Portland. And part of that project that the board approved a few months ago, the scope of work that we were scanning to do design work, included a CEQA evaluation of environmental quality act evaluation. And it was determined that this project meets the criteria for two CEQA exemptions. One is a categorical exemption, and one is called a statutory exemption, and one is for a pipeline that is less than a mile long, and the other is for replacement of existing facilities. And so we have prepared a resolution for the board to adopt that would approve the project under CEQA and approve the notice of exemption and authorize the general manager to file a notice of exemption with the State Office of Planning and Research and with the Proxy County Clerk. It's a fairly routine process, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Does the board have any questions?
No, that was it was reviewed during the Water Wastewater Committee today, and it's a very thorough report, and we're happy that Mike took care of that for us.
Director Grace, out of curiosity, why is this one that has to come in front of the board? Do you know?
I'm sorry?
Why does this matter have to come in front of the board?
Because we have to approve the application for the exemption.
Oh, okay.
It's a resolution, actually, I believe. We have to approve the resolution because we're going before the state to ask them to exempt us from certain CEQA requirements. They were very thorough in finding two different reasons for exemption. The recommendation is that you find as many as possible. So therefore, if they decline one, they'll find another one that might work. But I think both of them are very effective as exemptions.
Yeah, I was just curious. I think the fiscal impact is awesome, though. The fiscal impact.
$50?
Yeah. One of the best was
that's the filing. The filing's the cheap part.
Yeah, no kidding. Does the board have any other questions? Take it to public comment. Is there anyone on the phone with their hands raised?
No hands are raised.
Would anyone in the room like to make public comment? And with that, we will bring it back to the board. And does someone want to make?
I'll make a motion to adopt recommended staff's recommendations. Did I do that right? We're getting there.
I don't learn.
Excellent. All right.
I second the motion.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Toto?
Aye.
President Grant?
Aye.
Thank you, Mike.
And now on to item G3, discussion of possible action regarding the Town of Discovery Bay ballots for the proposed Rec 800 maintenance and capital assessment.
Yes,
Dina?
This item before you this evening has a recommended action of discuss and provide staff with direction regarding the Town of Discovery Bay ballots for the proposed Reclamation District 800 annual maintenance capital assessment. And the options are take no action on all 30 ballots, vote yes on all 30 ballots, or vote no on all 30 ballots. And so tonight we have to present this item for Reclamation 800 is
Kim Floyd, public outreach consultant to the district. Thank you, Chair Graham and member President Graham and members of the board. I've been working off and on with the Reclamation District since 2009 when it was trying to remedy some FEMA mapping issues way back when. But they asked me to come back and help provide some public outreach support for this effort. A little background, and I know that you have the presentation in your hands, and so I'll just walk you through those slides. So a little background on the district, which you probably are aware of. But it is a local special district formed 116 years ago to perform drainage and flood protection services to reclaim lands in the Byron Tract for the purposes of agriculture. Today, the district serves more than 3,600 properties, mostly residential, here in the core of Discovery Bay. And it's governed by, much like you, a five-member board of trustees elected by other Reclamation District 800 property owners to serve four-year terms. That board is supported by a small professional staff and consultants for engineering, legal, and auditing services. In short, it's a lean, globally controlled agency. Moving on to the next slide. Over the past century, the responsibilities of the district have changed with the landscape here in Byron Draft. So in addition to flood protection and drainage, today it also provides water quality and circulation services and bay access services. In the past year, next slide, the district brought in about $2.2 million in revenue from a combination of property taxes, an existing property assessment, and state grant funding. The issue the district's facing right now really stems from flat funding from that assessment. The original assessment approved in 2020 did not have a mechanism to allow for annual adjustments for inflation, so they've basically been dealing with 2020 dollars since then. It's about a cumulative $4.7 million loss to the agency over that 25-year period. It was thought at the time, you get asked, why haven't you increased it incrementally? It was thought at the time that the increase in property taxes would cover increased costs for the district, but that has not been the case. Last year, the district's expenditures were about $3.5 million, and so it had to cover that deficit between the $2.2 million in revenue with reserves. And that shortfall was the result of about a $650 million emergency repair for a levee slope failure, equipment replacements, and then a $391,000 bill for PG&E alone. Now, to put that into context, the assessment raises $633,000 per year. So more than half of the annual assessment is for PG&E. So at this pace, they believe that their reserves will be gone in 2 years. So clearly, they need to create a new sustainable source of revenue to make sure that they can cover their annual operating costs, but also manage a responsible level of reserves for emergency repairs and also plan capital projects. Moving on to the next slide. Looking ahead, the district has identified about $48 million in capital improvement projects that are needed to not only maintain levels of service, but improve them in some areas. It's everything from dredging to aggressive aquatic weed abatement in Willow Lake, and levee improvements that are not only necessary just to maintain the life of your levees, but to meet state and federal requirements and ensure that you stay in good standing with those agencies. Without new revenue, the district can't implement those projects and it can't maintain its existing levels of service. So next slide. Considering the annual operating costs, and then also taking a look at what's needed annually to finance those $48 million in capital improvements over time, the annual budget gap the district is facing is about $1.567 million. So on to the next slide. And that's what the proposed assessment is meant to address, that $1.567 million annual gap. So I know that you're familiar with Prop 218, but the way it works is that all properties that benefit from services that are within the district's boundaries must be assessed. And so that would include town-owned parcels. Assessment revenues, if approved by property owners, can only be used on those four service areas that I mentioned previously. And so that we don't find ourselves in the same position we're in now, 25 years from now, this proposed assessment does allow for annual cost of living adjustments at CPI or 4%, whichever is lower, the 4% would be a max. And that is not an automatic adjustment. It would have to be part of the board's annual budgeting process and they would have to vote to approve any increases. Before I tackle the methodology slides, I'd like to give you some context for the town's parcels. So you have 30 parcels and you have 30 ballots for those parcels. 17 of those are considered, for our purposes of our assessment, developed open space, and 13 are considered commercial properties. All 30 of the properties receive some level of benefit from flood protection services. Two of the properties receive benefit from water quality services, and 18 receive benefit from drainage services. None of your properties are on the bays, so they don't receive bay access. On to the next slide. So let's the high-level review for how benefit is calculated for each service area. For flood protection, the benefits are the avoidance of flood damages to properties and structures, and to protect land-based development. evacuation routes, what we refer to as flood egress. So yeah, I hope you have a color map in front of you. Everything in pink is in the flood benefit zone, and every property in pink receives flood egress benefit. They either have to cross a levee or access a levee, or they're protected by a levee for their evacuation route. Some properties, those that are on the core around Willow Lake, around the golf course, and then even right here in this area, receive a benefit from a reduction in flood damages to land and structures. So to analyze flood egress benefit, we simply look at where the property is located, nothing else. But for the avoidance of flood damages, we look at the location, the land use type, the parcel size, the structure type and square footage, and the depth of flood. On to the next slide. Next is the drainage service area. Benefits here are the avoidance of nuisance, flooding, and ponding, and also stagnant water. All properties within the levee section, so within this interior area, receive some level of benefit from this service. Factors used to calculate the benefit here are parcel size and type of drainage. And there are three different categories, ag, urban, and utility, which does apply to the town's parcel. Next slide is the water quality service area. This benefit is the prevention of water stagnation, then tackling that aquatic weed growth, and then providing irrigation water to the golf course. So the factor used to calculate benefit here is the location of the property within one of three zones. They either get water circulation, or water circulation and aquatic weed abatement, in the case of Willow Lake, or water delivery, which is the case of the irrigated golf course parcel. And then the last slide for methodology is the bay access. Again, this is informational, it doesn't apply directly to the town. But the benefit here is access to the delta by restoring the bays to 10 feet of flood depth. The factor here used to determine benefit is simply location. The further you are away from the fast water of the delta, from Indian Slough, access to the delta, the more you benefit from dredging, and so the higher your assessment. On to the next slide is just a cross-section of the proposed assessment. You can see over in that right column where there are percentages that the greatest percentage of benefit is received by residential properties, about 80%. And that's simply due to the sheer number of residential properties in the district in relation to other types. The second largest beneficiary is agriculture. Now, on the next slide, I know that you're familiar with Prop 218. But the reason those percentages are important is because this is a weighted vote. So basically, residential property owners hold 80% of the weighted vote for this assessment. Ballots were, so as you know, it's $1 proposed assessment equals one vote. Okay, so the town, your proposed assessment totals about $6,400 between all 30 parcels. You have 6,400 votes. We mailed ballots September 5th. We have a 45-day balloting period as per law. It ends on October 23rd with the public hearing. We have to have ballots back by that date in order for those ballots to be counted. And then we will tally up the weight of the yes and tally up the weight of the no and get to the outcome. As you were familiar with your positions in doing Prop 218 yourself, the outcome is decided by property owners. And what we have been trying to communicate to property owners is not how to vote, but the consequences of both the yes and a vote, no vote, because there's no such thing as a no consequence, no vote in this case. And so yes, we believe it protects public safety, quality of life, and property values, so the water in Discovery Bay makes Discovery Bay special, and many of the services the district provides protects those qualities for property. And then no, you're risking public safety, especially when it comes to flood protection and drainage, as those are systems that have to be maintained to be effective. And quality of life and property values are impacted negatively as well. So again, we've done, this is our fifth public presentation, but we've done four community meetings, we've done multiple mailers and attempts to connect with property owners by hotline, email. Sonic Rodriguez, the general manager, has been relentless on Nextdoor in responding to
the board have any questions? I know there was a map of showing the areas that would be flooded, and is that?
It's not, I did not include that.
Oh, you did not?
I did include it in the presentation that I sent, like the entire presentation. So,
okay.
So what that shows though is flood depths in this interior area, including Willow Lake, the golf course, anywhere from 4 to 12 feet.
Yeah, I just thought that would be very interesting for everyone to see, but so it's in the packet somewhere. Okay. And then for people who did not receive a ballot, do they just call Rec 800?
They can call the office, they can call the hotline number, which is in your packet, but it's also online, or they can email us. We try to make it really easy. So we can issue replacement ballots too for people who are interested in changing votes.
Okay.
They voted yes but want to vote no, they can change that.
Okay. Any questions? Leslie,
mm-hmm.
Kevin, anyone? Do we have any public comment of anyone on the phone?
No hands are raised.
Do we have any public comment from anyone in the room?
I was just adding one thing because Kim does a great job. Frank Morgan, Discovery Bay resident. Maintaining the levees to a FEMA accreditation is critical to all residents in Discovery Bay. If you lose that accreditation, then FEMA comes in, and anybody, any property owner within the district that has a mortgage would be subject to flood insurance, which they're not right now. The flood insurance is, could be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 per home, depending on where you are and where your property is located. So that's just a whole other aspect of being able to maintain our levies to the FEMA accreditation level, which the guys do a great job doing, and we've been doing that. But if funds are cut, then you got to look at, you know, can we maintain that level? That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board.
I just have an observation that may be relevant or maybe not relevant, but I believe there's a section on Discovery Bay Boulevard that is owned by Rec 800 that the town has been maintaining. With this assessment, and I don't believe we charge for that section. I don't know if this assessment though, that would mean we would be doubling up on the payment towards Rec 800, and I don't know, you know, is the town allowed to give away free services, or is that an issue that we should be concerned with? And maybe I'm sure if I'm not asking the question.
So you're talking about Discovery Bay Boulevard?
Yeah, there's a section.
That we maintain, but Rec 800 owns that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to look at the I believe it's done under
it was an agreement, I believe.
It'd be pursuant to the terms of the agreement. There's no services that are being provided that are being given away, like a gift of public funds, but we could definitely take a look at the terms of that agreement and then work any issues out with that.
Yeah, just making sure that we take everything in consideration.
Doesn't seem like that would be much, but it's a good question, so.
Well, it's,
any
it, it's
mm-hmm.
equal to the assessment. The value of the maintenance.
Any other questions? Let's bring it back to the board.
I would make a motion that we vote yes on all 30 ballots.
I'll second that motion.
Kelly?
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Buteau?
Aye.
President Graves?
Aye. And with that, motion passes. And now, correspondence, we have a few letters. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped over standing committee reports. Finance committee meeting.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Basically we went over the, we did the bi-monthly finance review that Margaret does a great job of kind of showing us where we're at, and then we had the same presentation that we saw this evening regarding the audited finances that we voted on.
My only additional comment was that in that review, we're pretty much on budget. little under on some things, a little over on other things, but more or less we're on par, on schedule for what we need for our finances.
And they also talked about the new software and getting that up to date, and so I think Margaret and Steph has done a really great job at getting us to where we need. It's pretty laborious. Not laborious, but like trying to get it exactly the way it needs to work and get everything set up. Once it's set up, it will be great.
Wonderful. Director Graves, do you want to discuss water, wastewater?
We reviewed the same thing that you guys just saw. We just reviewed the resolution, asked a few questions of Mike, and then moved it on to the board.
And if I might, I'd like to congratulate Director Graves on my attending my first 5-minute meeting. So it was a good meeting. All right, and we do have some correspondence, Public Works, Conservation Development, and Office of Supervisor from Diane Burgess. So you all had a chance to review those. And with that, is there any future agenda items? Are there? With that, we will adjourn the meeting at 7:36 p.m.